For the record, John Meyer representing the defendant Daniel Burkos. Mr. Burkos raised two issues in his brief this morning. Unless there's questions on the second issue, I will be confining my argument to the first issue concerning the issuance and the validity of the search warrant for the stored electronic communications, namely email, issued by a magistrate judge here in the Northern District for email. And
Mr. Meyer, I have an antecedent question. It's basically, who cares? We've said in several cases, most recently only 2 weeks ago in Cazares-Olivas, that a violation of Rule 41 does not authorize the suppression of evidence. Only a violation of the Constitution authorizes suppression. And there's no colorable claim of constitutional violation. So what difference does it make whether you're right about Rule 41 or the prosecutor is?
Well, it's a jurisdictional issue if a court...
There's no jurisdictional issue. Subject matter jurisdiction is provided in these criminal cases by
3231.
Whatever. We keep saying that, right? So there may be a mistake or there may not be a mistake, but what's the basis for exclusion of evidence?
Because if a court acts without jurisdiction to...
The district court in this case had plenty of jurisdiction.
Over the offense, not to issue a warrant, a search warrant, that's...
You know, look, we have all the time. Well, I guess we don't have all the time. We used to have, frequently, cases in which a police officer from Department A chased a culprit into Territory B and arrested him. And the defense lawyer would be saying, the cop from Jurisdiction A didn't have jurisdiction in Jurisdiction B. And we kept saying, that has nothing to do with the exclusionary rule. This is just another version of that.
Well, and this isn't strictly an exclusionary rule based on the Fourth Amendment, which you're possibly referring to. This is a court acting totally outside this jurisdiction to issue a warrant for a premises outside the district in which that court sits. If what Your Honor is saying is correct, it means there are no limitations on how a district court can act within the confines of either statutory or federal rules of criminal procedure. And with that said, I would submit that in this case, that the court has to act pursuant to statute, and the court has to act pursuant to the requirements of Rule 41B. And that is that the statute in issue here, Section 2703A, requires that the court, first of all, use the procedures of Rule 41B and thereafter fashion a warrant that complies with 41B. If that's the case, then the government's interpretation is wrong, because the government's interpretation hinges upon a modification or a revision in Section 2703A that occurred in 2001. And under that revision, the statute 2703A previously read that a court could issue a warrant only under the rules of criminal procedure. It was changed following September 11th to read that a court could issue a warrant using the procedures of the federal rules of criminal procedure. And that's the linchpin the government depends upon to find that the court...
But doesn't the statute say that Congress... Doesn't the statute say that the warrant can be issued by a court with jurisdiction over the offense?
Yes.
Well, that eliminates a jurisdictional problem, doesn't it?
Well, again, that would I would submit that refers to subject matter jurisdiction. I mean, that is...
Right, precisely. So a court with jurisdiction can issue a warrant, and then what Judge Easterbrook was saying was, well, if he makes some procedural error and he issues it in the wrong district or something, that's not a jurisdictional problem because he's got the statute conferred the jurisdiction. As long as he has jurisdiction over the offense, he's okay, although he may bobble some other procedural rule.
And again, that was a provision included in the 2001 revision of 2703A that a court with jurisdiction over the
offense. Yeah, so why doesn't that eliminate a jurisdictional issue and leave you with just a possible violation of Rule 41?
Because that, as I stated in my argument, is a reference to subject matter jurisdiction 3231. That is, a district court has...
Yes, but that's what we're talking about, subject matter jurisdiction. What are the forms of jurisdiction?
Well,
are you concerned with personal jurisdiction?
The government, according to the government's argument and the case they cite in support of their argument, the Yahoo case, that does not refer to general subject matter jurisdiction.
Well, now you've lost me. You say this is the provision that grants subject matter jurisdiction to a designated court, a court having jurisdiction over the offense. That takes care of subject matter jurisdiction. What other kind of jurisdiction are you concerned about?
I agree there is no jurisdiction. And this.
Oh, now you've lost me.
Look,
no.
What you must be arguing is that the service provider in Texas could say the magistrate judge who issued this lacked personal jurisdiction over me, and therefore I don't have to honor the warrant. But that's not what the service provider did. The warrant was honored.
It was, and I think the difference is not personal jurisdiction, but what the Yahoo case...
Then I'm totally lost.
Well, if you read the Yahoo decision, what the government relies on, that opinion relies on something called territorial jurisdiction. That is a court sitting in the Pacific District, you know, has authority only over the crimes occurring in that district, and therefore, under Section 2703A, if that offense occurs in its district, then it has out-of-district jurisdiction also. But to include that phrase in 2703A just restates what the statute already says, that courts have general jurisdiction
federal crimes. 2703A could have confined jurisdiction territorially. Yes, you could say this court has jurisdiction only in, you know, on Dearborn Avenue. You could say that, right? But
yeah.
It didn't say that. It said the court... It grants jurisdiction to court that has jurisdiction over the offense. Now, there's nothing about territory in there.
Exactly. And
well, that's, I don't see how that helps you, right?
Well, I think because I would, if I was standing, if that phrase was not in was not added to 2703A, and I was appearing before this court, and I was asked, isn't it a fact that a federal court has general jurisdiction over any federal crime? I would have to admit that. So this does not add or take away anything from my analysis or my argument. It's a mere restatement of what we already know. That is that federal courts have...
So you're saying 2703A added nothing to the law.
Exactly. It's superfluous. It's
no,
merely...
That's not right.
Interesting, anyway.
But the analysis goes on to, you know, reflect whether or not, if in fact there is an issue here about the implication of Rule 41B, the analysis then depends on whether, according to various opinions on this issue, the Rule 41B is procedural in nature or non-procedural in nature. because the analysis has boiled down to the fact of, well, when they amended 2703A to require using the procedures of the federal rules, it only meant they were required to address specific procedures and not substantive matters within the federal rules.
Thank you, Mr. Meyer.
Thank you.
Ms. Jacobs.
Good morning. May it please the Court. As I had explained in my brief, 2703A was amended in 2001, and there were two changes.
This is probably a case where you don't need to go on at length.
All right. Well, then how about this? Does the Court have any questions for me? None?
Yeah.
All the way here from Milwaukee, no questions.
No.
That's a nice trip.
Actually, I'm staying here all weekend, so that's just fine. Thank you very much. I'd ask that the Court.
Why do you hear you might do some shopping?
That's what I told my husband. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Ms. Jacobs. And thank you, Mr. Meyer. We appreciate your willingness to accept the appointment in this case, and you've made the best of what you had.
Thank you,
thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.